Welcome to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself with your host, Leo Flowers. I am Leo Flowers. Today I want to talk about suicidality and its relationship to time and space. Time, more specifically. I was just listening to an older episode I had with Dr. Andrew Huberman, who is a neuroscientist at Stanford. And one of the things that he discussed, if you haven't checked out the episode, I definitely recommend checking it out. There were so many things we covered, from anxiety to daily routines and how to wake up in the morning and how to just be engaged in life. But one of the things he mentioned was that suicidality is in part a distortion of time and space. And it's something that really stuck with me. I had to write it down on the re-listen. And then I saw this movie called Anatomy of a Fall. If you haven't seen it, there will be spoilers in this. I want to say that now. If you have not seen the movie Anatomy of a Fall, I'm going to ruin the ending for you. So please take this time to check out, listen to an old podcast. As a matter of fact, listen to the episode with Dr. Andrew Huberman. And then once you've seen Anatomy of a Fall, which was just released in 2023, then you can come back and listen to this episode. But that is your warning. I am about to ruin the ending for you. In the movie Anatomy of a Fall, the main character ends his life. And it was shocking for me that he would end his life. Because it's a drama where you're trying to figure out, did he end his life or was he murdered? You don't really know which one it's going to be. There's an argument between him and his wife, and the wife is fighting for her life, or fighting for the relationship, where the husband is attacking her, saying, I don't have time to write. They're both writers. And he's like, I don't have time to write. I'm always, you know, helping the kid with his homework. I'm doing repairs on a house. It's all this I. And then it's you, him blaming her for the situation that they're in. And she's like, you know, and of course, she's defending herself with all the sacrifices that she's made, yada, yada, yada. But in that argument, it brought back to mind this idea of, he felt like he didn't have time. He felt like he didn't have time, and he felt like he didn't have space. And that there's a part during the argument where he says, I think I need a year off from everything to just sit down and write. And the wife is like, there's so many writers who are married with a child who still have been able to crank out a book. Why do you need a year? She's like, I've never stopped you from writing. I don't discourage you. She said, this argument, instead of having this discussion, you could be writing, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of times we feel like, and this is the part I want to emphasize, we can feel like we don't have time. We can feel like we don't have space, when in fact we do. Maybe our expectations of what time and space that we should have and what it should look like, that could be thwarting us in terms of moving forward. And this is valuable because it was so important to him that he ended his life. And I know it's a fictional movie, but it won the Palm, which is the French version of like the Oscar. And then it was an Oscar contender for this year. And part of it is because that scene really resonated with so many people. So many couples, so many men, so many women felt seen in that, during that scene, right? During that fight. And so this is, even though it's fictional, it's rooted in arguments, conversations, and tension that real life couples have. And I even saw myself in this guy. There have been moments, like right now, we're having construction done on a house. And I feel like the house is always under construction. Michelle loves a project, right? And in my head, I was like, I don't have time. I don't have space. I could never get anything. And the truth is, I have enough time. I don't have all the time, but I do have enough time to do the things I need to do on a daily basis. I have enough space to chip away at, or at least move in the direction of the goals that I have laid out for myself. And I think that part of us not using the time and the space that we do have is that we have this unrealistic expectation of how much time we should have and the space that we should have. Like, I should be in a coffee shop drinking a lavender latte on a rainy afternoon, writing while there's a couple kissing in the corner, I should work out when I have the perfect workout outfit and the best trainer at the best gym under the bed. Like, these unrealistic expectations of what our time and space should look like. I should have 2 hours to work out, an hour to work out, and then a half hour to cool down, and then a half hour to go on a sauna. Like, sometimes all you have is 20 minutes. Sometimes you might just have 5 minutes. It's really about, are we making use of the time and space that we do have so that we can feel some sense of agency and autonomy, and also to create some urgency in our life? Because the more we do, the more we want to do, the more we move forward, the more we want to engage and we get excited for the next thing, right? Instead of pointing fingers. And by the way, it's legit. Whatever your grievance or complaint or gripe is, whoever you're blaming, absolutely valid. Absolutely. Air that grievance. Point the finger. But don't let it stop. Remember, we, at the end of the day, we are responsible and we have to take ownership for our life. And it may suck, right? In the scene, it was clear that part of what was chipping at his motivation was he wanted permission and validation from his wife to move forward. And she's like, I'm not getting in your way. Maybe she wasn't cheering him forward, but she wasn't blocking him from doing the things that he wanted to do to get the writing done. Right. It felt like in that scene, he was using her, the family, and the house as an excuse for not moving forward and not taking action. He felt like on some level, he would find a scapegoat for his lack of action. And that's what it felt like as I'm watching the scene, right? And mind you, we don't see their entire life together. And I'm sure she may have, and I also got the vibe from her, that she was saying things and maybe doing things that made him feel like he should be doing something else. He should be taking care of the house. He should be, helping the son with the homework. You know, maybe some passive aggressive unsaid things that he may have been sensing or picking up on that may have been influencing him. And even with that said, we have to recognize that when we are trying to move forward, or when we want to move forward in something or take action on something, not everyone is going to be aligned with us. And that's unfortunate and it sucks. The people who say they love us, who care for us, that we're in relationships with, not always going to be right by our side. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this movie role that he recently got, and he was telling me how his ex-wife told him not to audition for it. She was like, you're not good for it, you won't get it. And then he got it, and it changed his life, right? And so it just because they're not validating you or cheering you on, it doesn't mean that they're right. They're human beings, we're all selfish. We all have a selfish gene. There's a book called The Selfish Gene. So sometimes we're motivated, a lot of times, we're motivated by our very selfish, but also subconscious needs and wants and desires. So sometimes we're acting from a place that we're not even aware of. So unrealistic expectations could be interfering with us taking action and getting into that flow and feeling like we don't have time or space to do the things that we want to do. Also, distractions, right? How do we reduce interruptions, distractions that can hinder us or that can disrupt our flow? Like I said, we're having construction done on a house. There was some work I need to get done. And I tried to do 2 days with all the jackhammering and the tearing down and people walking in and out. And finally, I was just like, I got to go somewhere else. So I, you know, packed my stuff up and went to a coffee shop to get some work done. But I also decided, I told myself, you know what, Leo? Yes, there's jackhammering. There are a lot of people coming in and out the house. You have to find a way to get this work done. You have to act like there's excuse the metaphor, but like there's a gun to your head. Like there's some urgency. Like you have to get it done right here with all this going on, because this is life. I remember I was working with a psychologist for a while, and I still have a therapist now, but this is another one that I worked with. And there was this online ADHD program that she put me on. And one of the games as part of this program was you had to focus on one thing while other distractions were popping up on the screen, right? So you're looking at one thing and it's measuring to see if your eyes jump to it. So like a car might pop up, an elephant. Sometimes it's a visual cue or distraction. Sometimes it's auditory, like a horn blaring or someone yelling or a siren. And it's about, can you stay on task while distractions and interruptions jump out at you? And this was a practice in that. I don't know where you live. I don't know what your environment is like right now. I know that there are people who live in very peaceful neighborhoods, suburbs, out in the woods, and some people who live in a very noisy city. Some of you may live in a war zone where there's bombing and shooting and shelling and yelling. Those are distractions and interruptions. And somehow we have to find a way to be focused on our task at hand. There is a book, Reading Lolita in Tehran, and it was about this group of women in Tehran, and this is when, I mean, I don't know what it's like now, but in the book, like, people were being shot in the streets, beheaded, just gone missing and never to be heard from again. It was just all these distractions, interruptions. You have to dress a certain way. You have to look a certain way. There was a curfew, all these different things. And these women found a way to come together and read books that had been banned. If they were found with these books, they could have been jailed, abused mentally and physically, and they could have even been killed. But yet they were like, this is something that we need to do for our soul on a physiological level. We need this. We need to come together once a week. We need this consistency and this constancy to stay focused. And that might be the situation you're in where you're like, this sucks. I can't get any peace and quiet. And yet you might have to find a way to do it without the peace and quiet. Because here's the beautiful part. At some point, there will be quiet, right? It might not be quiet for a year or 5 years, but nothing lasts forever. Just like the construction workers, when they're here, they get here at 7 a.m. da-da-da-da-da. And the worst is when I think they're going to leave at 3, and then at 4, they're still here. And they're like, we just need a few more. And then they're not gone till 5, right? So that it goes back to that expectation of, all right, I'm like, okay, they're going to be here till 3. And then I'm like, oh, man, it's 3:10, 3:20, 3:50. They're still here. So learning how to work with distractions, with interruptions, and reducing our expectation of what our environment and conditions should look like, recognizing that if we put the work in, then we can, these types of distractions won't happen forever, right? We can work our way out of this level of distractions. I think that's part of the pain of it is you have, like if you have kids, right, and the kids are coming in and out, at some point the kids, when they get older, they're not going to be coming in and out the office, right? They're gonna have their own friends and off doing their own things, and then you're going to miss them. And then you're going to be like, man, I wish the kids would run in and out the office because now I don't see them anymore, right? So sometimes we have to kind of laugh at just how many interruptions and distractions and how many things are pulling us in a million different directions. But also we have to find the time and space, even if it's not as much time as we'd like or as much space as we'd like. We have to create that for ourselves, whether it's to work out, to meditate, to journal, to socialize. It's up to us to find a way to carve it out, regardless of what's happening around us, right? And once again, it's not going to be easy. It may not always be fun, but it gives you a purpose. It gives you meaning, and it gives you something to aim towards, right? And then also be aware that you're not overloading yourself with different tasks, because sometimes that can make you feel like you don't have enough time or space. Like you're taking on too many things. If you feel guilty, if you're doing things just because you feel guilty, right, then maybe you need to have a conversation with someone and say, hey, I don't really want to do this. I'm doing this because I feel guilty. Do you really need me to do this? Or is there someone else you can delegate this to? Or is there a way we can reduce the amount of things that you need me to do, or the time frame, or can we expand on the time frame and which is done? You know, I just had a friend, he reached out, he did something for another. I had a friend do something for another friend, right? And my friend was upset because the other friend did not reward him in any way. He thought he should have received some type of compensation for what he did. However, my friend never set the foundation. He never let the other guy know what the parameters were. And so sometimes we can feel overloaded and overwhelmed because we're doing for other people, doing. And at no point are we being honest and saying, if I do this, here's what I'm going to need in return, right? If I pick you up from the airport, I'm going to need gas money. If I'm going to help you move, I'm going to need you to, you know, watch my dog for 2 days. Like, set the parameters of what the trade-off is going to be, especially if it's with someone that you don't really know, right? You met them once or twice, and you're like, oh, this person's cool. This would be cool to do. Don't let your excitement over doing the thing trump the need to set boundaries around it. We need to have boundaries around what we are going to do for other people, right? What was I just listening to earlier where it was, it's going to drive me nuts. I can't remember. But to put a time limit, to say, hey, I'll do this for you for a week or 2 weeks, and then you're going to have to find someone else, right? Or I could do this for you for 20 minutes. Like, I had a friend, she reached out, and I know you guys are going to be like, well, why would you do this if it's a friend? But hear me out. She goes, "Hey, can we talk this weekend? I love to chat, but not talk in a like something's wrong or, you know, it's just like, hey, can we you want to chat because we haven't talked in a long time. We've been texting back and forth." And I was like, "Yeah, send me a calendar invite and let me know if you want to talk for 20 minutes or 75 minutes. Let me know so I know how to adjust my schedule, right? Because I could talk to you for either one of those. I'd love to talk to you for 75, but if we're only going to talk for 20, then I'd love to know that too so I can schedule, you know, accordingly, right? I have not heard back from the friend, which is cool. But the point is I excited to talk to my friend. And if we're going to schedule us having a conversation, then let's schedule it. Let's really look at it. Versus if she had just called me, then we could have talked and I wouldn't have been like, hey, is this a 20 minute or 75? But the fact that she wanted to schedule it, I was like, well, all right, well, let's schedule this. And so because there's nothing worse than you have a conversation with someone and you get to the point where like, how long is this going to be? Or what is this about? Or, you know, I don't want to be in my head. I want to be relaxed and I want to be present. And I know for me, time is important. I need to know how much time we're going to spend on a thing. Even when I sit down to work or read, I set a timer, 25 minutes, 9 times out of 10. So even if I'm taking a break, I set a timer, 5 minutes, 25 minutes. Like I need that. That's how I operate. So don't be ashamed of what your needs are. If you need to set a time, if you need to set a boundary, if you need a reward, speak up for that. Advocate for what you need. And that's a way that we can build time and space in our life. Setting boundaries, checking to see if we have any unrealistic expectations about what our time and space should look like. You know, recognizing that distractions and interruptions are a part of life. But if we need to remove ourselves, then we need to advocate for that. Or if we need to tell someone, hey, I can't, my phone has to be off from this time to this time. Put your phone on do not disturb. Give your phone to someone else. I take apps off my phone all the time. But how can you reduce, you can't eliminate distractions or interruptions, but how can you reduce it? Do you need to go away for a month or 3 months or a year? You know, Barack Obama did that to write his book. He went away for 3 months to finish the first book that he wrote. That was mentioned in Michelle Obama's book. So what do you need to do to reduce those distractions? And then making sure you're not saying yes to more than what you can handle. And I know it's so hard to say no, but to say, hey, right now doesn't work for me. Please check back in with me in a month. I do that sometimes with podcast guests where there are moments where my schedule is overloaded and I go, I'd love to have you on, but right now I can't even figure out where to squeeze you in. Please reach back out to me in 2 months or 3 months or what have you. And then also that way, you know, that person who's asking of your time really cares and wants to be a part of it, you know? So don't be afraid to set boundaries. Part of the reason why we don't set boundaries is we're afraid the person is going to say no, or they're going to think we feel entitled. And it's like, no, I'm setting this boundary because I really want to be present with you and I don't want to be thinking about other things during our time spent together. So I appreciate you spending this time with me today. If you found any value in this episode, please take 7 seconds and share it with one other person. Also, go watch Anatomy of a Movie. Anatomy of a Fall. Such a beautiful movie. I really enjoyed it. And even if you know, you're like, well, I know the ending now. It's an enjoyable movie. It the ending doesn't even matter, to be honest. I mean, yes, the fact that he ended his life, that sucks. But when you watch the movie, you'll realize it's not even about that. It's really about the journey, as is life. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Remember, This podcast is not a substitute for you calling the 988 or any of the other international phone numbers. You can chat, talk, text, or go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. Let's get to tomorrow together.